day. And we try to go through a couple of things. Now, I want to have a very important disclaimer. The things that I'm going to mention over here, we do not do. Most of the things that we do not do, a lot of things I never heard of. And again, I have to emphasize this: the disclaimer. We discuss different things, right? Educational purposes only, and we're just here to bring out different inyanim of Yom Kippur. But again, let's not get carried away about some of the things that we're going to learn about. Okay. Yes.
I just went for a very fascinating video from Avraham Soloveitchik, where he Yosef Peer Soloveitchik, but where he spoke about Eretz Yom Kippur. So he said to everybody, this is many, many years ago, he said to everybody, the spirit of Eretz Yom Kippur in my house, that I can't tell you. I cannot explain that to you. I can't bring over the spirit. The halachos I can tell you, but the spirit.
Wow.
The spirit
of the day I can't describe, impossible to describe. He didn't say that about Yom Kippur. He didn't say that about Purim. He didn't say every Yom Kippur.
Yes.
There is something that is magnificent, beyond description. And I believe that it's captured in the parsha that we're supposed to say every single day of the Ketores. Some of you say it every single day of the Ketores. And the Ketores, we know, was prepared once a year. Okay, v'shechakon yofe yofe. Let me go back. How many tanavonim? Peter Makateres Ketzad. Shloish neyois v'shishin v'shmoinim monim hoiva. There were 368 portions. They took all of the ingredients and they prepared 368. Three portions more than the solar year. Which is interesting. Why are we focusing on the solar year, not on the lunar year? Okay. Shloish v'os v'shishim v'chamishim k'minim v'sachama. Mone l'chol yoyim. One portion per day, and that one portion they divide it into two. Pras b'shachadis u'fras b'nevoyim. Oh, what about the three extra? There are only 365 days. U'shloisha monim yisedim shemehem. Those three extra portions, machnis koyin gadol miloy chafnav b'yay makipurim. And now comes the key words. This may be one of the only places in Chazal where it mentions, there are certain halachas.
Why not the lunar year?
Okay, that's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer.
It says, Shomaris, Chodesh, Aviv, so we live, there's still the calendar.
No, there's no question that the solar calendar has a lot of weight in halacha.
It does.
There's a lot of different examples. There were three extra monim that were used by the Kohen Gadol when he went Lifnai v'Lifnim. In addition to the Ketores of the morning and the Ketores in the afternoon, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a spoon. Really, it's two fistfuls of Ketores, which he took out of a spoon. And what does it say? U'machaziron l'machteshes bi'erev yoim ha'kippurim v'shoichakon yofe yofe kidei shetehei Daka min hadaka. In these words lie the secret of Erev Yom HaKippurim. The most sublime offering that we bring to Hashem is the Ketores. The Ketores is the Nachas Ruach, the sweet fragrance, the satisfaction. You always wish people they should have Nachas in life, Nachas from their children, their grandchildren, from each other. Nachas. Nachas means it's a word you really can't translate. There is no translation for the word nachas. How could you possibly translate that word?
Right.
There's a deep spiritual satisfaction of fulfillment of one's purpose in this world. And there's no translation possible. It doesn't do justice. Woo! Dr. Dove, you got into a lot of trouble over here. Okay? You can't translate the things which cannot be translated. And on Yom Kippurim, the Avoida is, the special Avoida of Yom Kippur is to bring the Ketores Lifnai V'Lifnim. And we need Ketores. The quality of the Ketores of the whole year is not good enough for Yom Kippurim. It has to be ground. Nochamol. V'sheichakon yofe yofe. Okay, the fact that it even shows those words is a very interesting concept. It has to be ground beautiful? That's not the right word. V'sheichakon, I don't know, there are other words that you can select to
daka,
no, that's what it says. Kidei, v'sheichakon yofe yofe, kidei shetehei daka min hadaka. Okay, these words is also it's hard to translate what exactly, but it represents this concept that Erev Yom Kippurim, the nachas ruach that we attempt to bring for HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into full gear. And the nachas, the ingredients of nachas that we offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day of the year, in the morning and twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon, is not sufficient. We have to take the Ketores and return it to the mortar to crush it again so that it should be, we do it yofe yofe. Kidei shetehei daka min hadaka. That concept permeates the feeling, the theme of Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, people are very optimistic. They're very happy. There's a tremendous simcha. It's the only day of the year where you're not allowed to fast. It's mamish also, even the tainas chaloyim. Even the tainas chaloyim, you can't fast Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is a whole different frame of mind, and the goal is always, we're now going to prepare yofe. Everything has to be not just perfect, but has to have beauty to an intensity. Kidei shetehei daka min adaka. It should be, I don't even know how to translate, it should be very, very fine. It should be whatever these words mean. It obviously means that the crystals of the keteres should be as small as possible, so that it produces the highest quality fragrance when it's offered before Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But again, this expression I always found really captures the mahus, the yofe yofe, kidei shetehei daka min hadaka. That's the avoida of Erev Yom HaKippurim. Person should have optimism, person should review his life, and everything should be done with a frame of mind that it's yofe yofe. Life is yofe yofe. So that going forward, it should be daka min hadaka, the success and the fragrance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nachas that Hashem will have from us, will be to the utmost possible. Okay, now with that hakdama, let's discuss some minhagim. And again, I want to warn you, we don't do a lot of these things that we do not do. But again, we just bring out some ideas in order just to, you know, give a little flavor to what the day is all about. Okay, so let's just jump around over here. And the first thing is, it's a day where people should ask their friends mechila. Okay, the Ikur day, even though we did learn before Rosh Hashanah that there's no doubt there's a source that a person should be Mavakash Mechila Erev Rosh Hashanah, but Erev Yom Kippur, there is also a minhag that one should ask his Chaverim Mechila. Now this halach is cited here. I can't tell you every source. If you want the sources later, we can decipher all the sources. Let's say you know for a fact that your friend has fully forgiven you. You know for a fact. You did nothing wrong. He forgave you. It doesn't matter. Part of the request for mechila is a personal hachno. It's not so much the result. Even though you already have the result in the bag, the person already has made it clear that he forgives for the avla that was done to him, 100%. There is still an Indian Erev Yom Kippur for one person to humble himself to another person and ask mechila. I saw the said that is utterly shocking beyond belief. It's from the Stei Chemet. The Stei Chemet writes, a chiddush misefer mare hagadol. You're not going to believe what it says over here. This is even too shocking. This should be censored, what it says here. The only time you have to ask, you know, we all know that are done ben adam l'chaveroi, yom ha-kippurim is not mechaper until you mevakeish mechila. Ben adam l'mokim, you can do teshuvah, and Hashem will forgive you. But if a person in Aver ben Adam Lachaver, we have to appreciate that every Avera ben Adam Lachaver is automatically an Avera ben Adam Lamakim. And in order to get the appropriate Mechila, you have to first get Mechila from Chaver. So he says, there's one exception. In coming out of a Shemitah year, you don't have to ask your friend for Mechila. Part of the principle of Shemot. If Reuven does an avla to Shimon, so basically Reuven has a choiv. I did an avla. I did something terrible to you. I insulted you. I told you. Didn't I warn you? Give you a disclaimer in the beginning. Don't take everything we say here seriously. if you person ba'avlus his friend, I have a choif. I did something to you. Shmita shamoit. The same way your friend has an obligation to cancel all loans, it's his built into that concept, that spiritual concept. Again, this not lahalacha, is shamot. This fellow insulted me. He has a choif, an obligation to pay me back by asking mechila. No, now it's shmita. Shmita. He doesn't have shmita. Is automatically the.
What is he saying? Because
I'll read you the words.
Does the principal help?
Does the principal help? Very cute. Does the principal help? I'll read you the words because this is such a shocking chiddush. Ha de ein yoyim hakipur mechaper ad sheyiratze es chavera ein bestechemet shehivi chiddush misefer mara hagadol the davka b'shor shonim b'inon ritzui chaveroi aval b'shnas hashmita kevon shekayim mitzvah shmita kitikuna u'mishamet hachoyva shol chaveroi gam Hashem lo yimna toiv v'chaper le'Hashem will forgive you al averois shebein odom l'chaveroi b'loy ritzui. Could you imagine such a chiddush? You don't have to be meratze your friend for insulting him, for causing him harm, because, and you can go to Hashem, Hashem, I'm sorry, I went and I caused another person, I insulted him, I was mevaze him, I didn't treat him with their cheretz, Hashem, I'm sorry. Did you ask your friend Mechila? Well, I don't have to, it's Shemitah, Shemoit.
That's an unbelievable chiddush.
Didn't I say that 10 times, an unbelievable chiddush? And I told you, it's Shaloika Halacha. You're never going to see this in any contemporary halacha sefer. Okay, b'lo yiritzu mida k'negi mida. This is what it says in the Stei Chemet, in the name of a sefer called Mare. Hagod doesn't make no. Don't get carried away. This is just entertainment purposes.
We have an Evan Ivri. Does he go out?
What?
An
no, that's avdos. That's avdos. That's not causing an
avdos. You have to give him. Money, everything.
I just wanted to stimulate to wake you up. Exactly. Okay, let's discuss. Let's discuss some other things. Okay, let's talk about going to mikvah erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur. Now, there's a shocking chiddush. The only one that says this, I never knew all these. The source for this is Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon writes explicitly that when you go to mikvah erev Yom Kippur, you make a bracha. You make a bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu al hatzvila. When a man goes to mikvah erev Yom Kippur, he makes a bracha. When should he make a bracha? Should he make the bracha when he comes out? Should he make the bracha before he goes in? So there's a big machlokes in the sheet of Rav Sadia Gaon, who says you should make a bracha. Some hold the proper time to make the bracha when you come out of the mikvah, because then you're tahor. Then the person, or even when he's in the mikvah, and he picks it, and he goes dunks once, he comes up, he comes out, his head comes up, he's now tahor, he should make the bracha. Some say no such thing. The only time you have a hechatim, so you make the bracha when you take your head out, is by a ger. And some say by a nisha who doesn't need, I'm not so sure about that, but by a ger, because the ger cannot make the bracha before. So the ger makes the bracha when he's not yet Jewish. So then the ger has no other option. The ger makes the bracha after he takes his head out of the water. But a person always makes the bracha oyver la'asiyasan. So even though the person is not yet tahar, he is not yet immersed in the mikvah, he should still make the bracha before. This is what it says in Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon doesn't need my introduction over here. Rav Sadia Gaon. However, all of the Rishonim cannot swallow this Rav Sadia Gaon. None of the other Gaonim mention this. Rav Amram Gaon, who is a contemporary, I think a little bit later, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Rav Sadia Gaon lived from 900 to 960.
And when did Rav Amram Gaon?
A little bit later, not much.
They don't explicitly say that you should not make a bracha, but none of the Gaonim mention making a bracha. The Rosh, he cites Rav Sadia Gaon and says no such thing. There's no mikor anywhere in Shas, in any source, in any Medrash, any Gemara, Talmud, Bavli, Yerushalmi, that mentions that there's a mitzvah to go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. It's a minhag toiv, but it is not a mitzvah to the degree where you make a bracha. So it's not done. Now, as an extension of this, it's very interesting. This is something more, probably more modern. I don't know exactly what modern means. Does it mean 400 years ago? Does it mean 1,000 years ago? Does it mean 100 years ago? I've never seen anyone do this. And I'm telling you things that are really off the beaten path over here. And that is, when a person is in mikvah, he should say vidui. Not when you're underwater, obviously. It means when the person is standing in the mikvah, before he dunks, after he dunks, he should say, Oshamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, Dibar Nadofi, to recite vidui. It's not a good idea, because you're going to hold up the line. What? That's another. So we're not up to Malchus. We're not up to Malchus yet. Not up to that yet. First, you can say vidui by Malchus also. Not up to that yet. Right now, a chiddush nifla, that when a person is in mikvah, he should recite vidui. Now, by the way, what is the purpose of going to mikvah? So first, the different reasons. Some say because taka tumas keri, person is tamei, and even though a halacha l'maisa, we're not nizer in this, we're not makbid on this, it's a gzerish ein, once a year a person should be makbid, that he should go into Yom HaKippurim in a state of tahara from tumas keri. Now, if that is the reason, then there is no reason why children should go to mikvah. Should not be allowed, the bechlal should not be allowed to go to mikvah, period, especially in our generation. And also, noshen. But there are chlal women then, if the ikar tam of going to mikvah, er of Yom HaKippurim, is because of tumas keri, it does not apply to zikanim. I'm making a mistake. I'm confusing with something else. It does not apply to children and does not apply to noshim. And therefore, there's no time why they should go to mikvah. However, many disagree and they say the reason why you go to mikvah is not because of tumah, it's because of tahara. Toisefes kedusha. To bring upon yourself an additional level of kedusha. If that's the reason, then the children possibly should go to mikvah. Again, today it's not a good idea for other reasons. Now, and women possibly also. The third reason is teshuva. What?
You often see Jewish women. Yeah, definitely. The ones who are past their needed years.
Yeah.
Because they didn't go.
Okay, in Echanami, there's a lot of sources for that. There are a lot of sources today. I think in America, the reason why they don't go, for one, is because it's just not practical, because the men take over the mikvahs.
Yes.
Now, it depends where. See, I remember the Lower East Side. The Lower East Side, there was one mikvah, the whole Lower East Side. Right? Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a woman's mikvah. So I remember I used to go collect for MTJ with my pushka. Go to the mikvah, you go collect, and there was one mikvah on the Lower East Side. It was a woman's mikvah. Erev Yom Kippur, the whole Lower East Side went to that one mikvah. So the women, you're out. That's it. There's no place for women because the men are using the mikvah the whole day. There are a lot of mikvahs for men. Men only mikvahs. And there's no need for men to dirty the women's mikvahs. The women do not want the men using their mikvah. Don't use it.
It won't be ready for Matzah Yom Kippur.
That also, well, Lord, we saw they had to get it ready for Matzah Yom Kippur. Also, they had to do whatever they had to do. They had no choice. But today in Brooklyn, at least, more or less, it is not necessary. And therefore, men should not be going to a woman's mikvah. It's separate. You leave it alone. It's tznius. Men should even see what's inside the mikvah. It's none of their business. So today, but yet, so then you would say, if that's the case, so women should go to the mikvah. It's not done today. Tznius, whatever the reasons are. There are three reasons why we go to mikvah. Number one, to maskeri. Number two, tahara. Number three, it is part of the process of doing teshuva. A person who did an avera and is about teshuva, if not mistaken, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, they must go to mikvah. This is what I once heard a shir from by Balei Teshuva. People who were not shomrei Torah mitzvot, had no fault of their own, people who were tinik shenishva, and then later in their life, they are choizer b'shuva, they are mechuyev to go to mikvah. Not midin Erev Shabbos. Part of the process of being choizer b'shuva is to go to mikvah. Just like a ger goes to mikvah to become a Jew, It's one of the three necessary conditions. A person who is about teshuva must go to mikvah. The Mishnah Berurah therefore says that when a person goes to mikvah, he should dunk three times. Kineged, chotasi, avisi, poshati. So sach hakol, there are three reasons to go to mikvah. Number one, tumas keri. Number two, tahara. Ki bayoyim hazeh, Yom Kippur's day of tahara. Nothing to do with tumas keri. Tahara. Number three, it's part of the process of teshuva. The first reason would not apply to nashim and children. The other two reasons do apply to nashim and children. Part of the process of doing teshuva is to go to mikvah. Now, halacha l'maisa, there's no question that today women in our community, that as far as I know, it's a no-go. We're not, there's no going to mikvah, period. Children, it's not proper that children should be toivel with their parents, with their fathers at the same time. It is not proper. Some people don't know that. They don't understand that. And it's not necessarily a good thing b'chlal for a child. Many rabbanim very strongly object to children under bar mitzvah, even older over bar mitzvah, until they reach a certain degree of maturity, to go to mikvah. You get old, you go to mikvah. It's not necessarily the right thing for a child. It's something which requires a degree of maturity. I'm talking especially in our community where basically they're only public mikvah. They're not only, but most people go to a public mikvah. There are certainly private mikvahs, but you have to wait a very, very long time. And it's not really proper. You have a little kid, a 10-year-old kid, and you get to hold up a rav who's waiting online to go to mikvah. This 10-year-old kid is waiting is before him. That's not a nice thing. Time is limited every Yom Kippur. Okay, now, so then these are two interesting things about the mikvah and the bracha. Now, mikvah and the bracha and saying vidui in the mikvah, which I've never seen anyone do, and I don't think it's advisable because people need the mikvah and you have to go very quickly. How many times do you dunk? So I told you three. So he cites over here there was a minug to dunk 39 times. 39 times. Kineged Malkas. Okay, then there's another minug. This minig appears to be every Erev Shabbos, 14 times. I have no idea why. There are three authentic sources citing the number of times to be toivel. 3, 14, and 39. Vizehu. Okay, now next minig. Next minig I never saw. Supposedly the real Sfaradim do this, but it seems that Ashkenazim also at one point used to do this. There was a hakpad. This is just fascinating to me. This blows my mind, this minig. There was a minig in Klal Yisrael, Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur, you wear tefillin. Talis and tefillin. Erev Yom Kippur. Especially tefillin. You daven Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur, wearing tefillin. You ever hear this before? Never heard this before. Why? This is very interesting because maybe Chas V'Shalom, you did not put on tefillin one day this year. Maybe it happened this year, this past year, there was a day that you just did not put on tefillin. So therefore, now, Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur, you make it up.
There is such a thing as a makeup?
So the truth is, there is. That's the Chiddush. You have this very, very often where, let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, a person discovers that the tefillin are puzzle. And it means that he has been wearing tefillin for a period of time that they open up the tefillin. There's nothing inside. There are no parashios. How did that happen? Crazy things happen. I told you 2 weeks ago in Lakewood, there was a shul, they leaned from the Sefer Torah. There were two spelling mistakes in one pasuk. Brand new Sefer Torah within the first year. What? It was computer checked. Computer checked, two spelling mistakes. So right away, they go to the videotape. Where's the computer check? You have it on record? Of course you have it on record. They print it out. Yeah, the computer found the two mistakes. Here, the computer found it. The Shemazelkite. The Sofer forgot to correct it. Just because you get a computer check, you think you're safe? You get a computer check, you have a printout. It's a printout. There are different pieces of software they use. You have to correct the mistakes. Yeah, we found the mistakes. The Sofer forgot to correct these mistakes. Okay, so mistakes happen. So let's say a person, Rachmana Litzlan, he discovers that it's still not kosher. So all the Paiskim say the same thing. They say what you're supposed to do is that for you make a calculation. During the time that you were not wearing tefillin, how much time would you have been wearing tefillin? Let's say it was a year, chas v'shalom. Make a calculation. How long do you wear tefillin during davening? So let's say it's a half an hour. Add up all those half an hours and come up with a number. And now, for the rest of your life or going forward, every day you should wear the tefillin longer than you would ordinarily do to make up for the time that you were not wearing tefillin. There is such a principle of doing that, by tefillin. Whoever said tefillin is to wear every single day. We passing like that. Today, God forbid not to wear tefillin one day. But Mikra Adin, it says in the Torah, V'shamarto es hachukah hazois l'moada miyomim yomima. What is that pasuk referring to? The machloikis. Is it referring to Karban Pesach or is it referring to tefillin? And if it refers to Karban Pesach, then when it says miyomim yomima, what does it mean? Once a year. If it means tefillin, it means every single day. Who says? Maybe it means tefillin. And when the pasuk says v'shamarta es hachukah hazos l'moadam yamim yamima, how often should you wear tefillin? Occasionally. You wear tefillin on the day of your bar mitzvah, the day of your wedding, and when your children make a simcha, they invite you to come to the day you make a bris for your child. There are those who want to suggest that in the time of the Gemara, people did not wear tefillin every day. They wore tefillin on special occasions. Oh, so that halacha is a modern halacha to a degree. I mean, because you're being made a desheker bi'atzmai. If you wear tefillin every single day, then it becomes a desheker. But who are you to wear tefillin every single day? Only the gedolei Yisrael wore tefillin every single day. The average person wore tefillin occasionally. As bar mitzvah, his wedding. When it says in Chazal, a karkafta, delay monach tefillin, it means once in your life. V'shamarta es hachukah hazois l'moada, in its set time, miyomim, miyomimo, once in a while, from time to time, from day to day, special occasions only. This is a very dangerous thing that I just said, because today this is not accepted, God forbid, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, never to chas v'shalom miss tefillin for one day. I remember, Rabbi Nachman would appreciate this, Rabbi Chaim Siegel. I remember when Rabbi Chaim Siegel had quadruple bypass heart surgery. And it was a very, very serious surgery. And his greatest simcha when we came to visit him was he didn't miss tefillin even one day. The way the time when the surgery was scheduled and when he was awakened allowed him to wear tefillin, because many people in that situation, they're out. And that was a long time ago, younger, probably 25 years ago at least. It was they put him out for a very, very long time. And most people would not be able to, you would not be able to wear tefillin during that time period.
I know a story firsthand, somebody who was a bone marrow donor, and he always davened with him. He convinced the doctors to start the surgery
right.
After Zman Mincha, that he would, and they came to the hospital with him, and he did it, feel the seaboard of that. And then he went into the surgery.
Or a Myriff?
Did it
wasn't stuck. They walk around. Okay, very interesting. 100%. Okay, whatever. So this is a Peladik minik. This is an incredible minik. Could you imagine going to Shul Mincha? Erev Yom, the only time that we wear tefillin by Mincha is when on Tisha B'Av. But that's because we did not wear a tefillin in the morning. But here, no, it's the makeup day. Maybe one day this year you did not wear tefillin properly. You didn't wear tefillin. It's like an announcement. You don't go into the new year as a karkafta deloy monach tefillin. Peladik minik. I can't get over this minik. Unbelievable. You've never seen anyone do this today. Unheard of, right? Unheard of.
We're
not talking about what goes on there, okay? Excuse me. Let's talk about civilization. Let's talk about civilization. Next minuk, Malkos. Now, I've never heard, when I first time I heard this minuk, I was shocked. I was like, what in the world is going on? Now, it doesn't bother me. In fact, I wouldn't mind having it done to me. But there's a minuk, there's more of a Hasidish minuk. Again, a minuk is, and everyone writes about this, is giving Malkos, receiving a token Malkos Erev, Yom Kippur, in case chas v'shalom person is chayav karis. That's the whole controversy of why the Mari Beirav, when they wanted to reinstitute smicha, smichas chachamim, Why did they want to reinstitute Smichas Chacham? Because there were many Jews that converted to Christianity because of the pressure of the Christians. And they had Charata, and they felt that by converting to Christianity, it's Avodah Zarah, and the Chayiv Karis. And they wanted to Teshuvah. And the way you get Teshuvah is Malchus. Kol Chayve Kresos Loiken. And if they would get Malchus, that would be an Akapara from Kares. So the primary reason why they wanted to reinstitute Smichas Chachamim was to be able to administer Malchus, so these poor souls who were not able to be Omid bin Nisayon and converted to Christianity could get Malchus.
Besides
Chassidim. They do now became a popular new thing. The people, they do it. Okay, so obviously the Malchus you give is not a real Malchus. They do. I saw it being done, I saw only the rabbi of the shul. He gave him a garital. It's just a token. He just stands there and he says vidui. He says chatos. He just reads the vidui chatos vidui pashati. While a person, it's a token for just. Gives a little, you know, with the garital, a little azoy. You go 13 times here on one side. You do 3 times 13, and the one that gives the malchus, vuhu rachum yichaper, he just goes back and forth with one on the left, one on the right, one in the center, vuhu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchis verbo l'shivapo. He says it 3 times, vuhu rachum, 3 times. When he takes the garital and he just taps him as a token hakara. That, you know, what's the purpose? So obviously, you know, it's Yom Kippur. And the person, Yom Kippur, you're dealing with Kores. Chayve Kresos. You don't want to be cut off. So call Chayve Kresos Loiken. Anyone that was did an Avera, for which he is Chayve Kores, if he would be warned and given Hasra, he would receive Malchus. And that Malchus comes with a silver lining. When a person gets Malchus for violating an Avera for which there is Kares, he is forgiven. There is no Kares. So as a token fulfillment of what people did back in the day and what it's all about, this is a very interesting minute. Problem of doing it is today is that most people today are, I'm not trying to say anything bad about people, people are babies. Babies. And if you'll do this minute wholesale, it'll become just a joke. It'll become, not everyone appreciates what this is all about. You have to deal with mature people who are holy people, who live a life of purity. They appreciate this. What every guy in the shul, every kid, 13-year-old kid is going to give Malchus, it's a joke. It'll turn into a Purim spiel.
Right after that, Torah's the Dorm.
That's a Rosh Hashanah. It would turn, so this obviously is not advisable. This is something which is not done wholesale. It's done by certain people who are holy people and have a degree of sensitivity. Okay, there's a minute obviously to do kaparis. Kaparis is a massive, massive sugya. We're not here to go through the sugya of kaparis now, but kaparis primarily lechatchila really should be done erev Yom Kippur. It's not practical for most people. To the people who want to do kaparis with a bird, okay, we're not going into the big controversy in the ganze zach. It's a massive sugya. But whatever, when kaparis, the ideal time to do kaparis is erev Yom Kippur. Some new things that I've seen, which made an impression on me, why do you do kaparis? So obviously that you say the nusach ze chalifasi, ze tumurasi, ze hatarnagol yelich lemisa va'ani ikones l'chaim, something along those words. So it's basically you say ze tacha ze. Some of the nuschais of kaparis. They add the words that when you take the bird, or you take the money, or you take the fish. Some do it with fish. They're all different minhagim.
Big carp.
With what? A carp. When you say kaparis, you say ze tacha ze. So he explains here that the reason for that is, according to one opinion, this is something which is new to me, is it comes from the Akedah. It's very interesting. The Akedah and Rosh Hashanah Yilei, the Akedah. Now, the Akedah, although we focus on the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah, there are many Midrashim, not many, but there are Midrashim, and Mechol can probably cite you all the sources, that indicate that the Akedah took place on Yom Kippur. Is that correct, Mechol? I've seen that a lot of places. The Akedah, when exactly is the calendar date of the Akedah? So then he said that it took place on Yom Kippur. is when the Akedah took place, and the Akedah spans Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even though in Zichronos we focus on the Akedah. The laning on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is all about the Akedah. Make no mistake about it. But the Akedah also plays a very important role on Yom Kippur. And this very powerful pasuk, Vayikra elov malach Hashem in Hashamayim, Vayomer elov Avraham Avraham, Vayomer hineni, Vayomer, Al tishlach yodoch el hanar, Vayal ta'as loy mu'uma, Ki ato yodati, ki rei elokim ato, Lechosach, tespinichos yichidcha mimeni. And then it says, Vayiso eino vayar, Vihinei ayil, Achar, Nechas basfach bikarnov, Vayikach Avram eso ayil, Vayaleu le'oilo, come the keywords, Tachas binoi. Okay, those are very powerful words. He was makriv the ayil, Tachas binoi. According to the Medrash, at least one Medrash, maybe more, is the Akedah took place on Yom Kippur. We are on the Akedah. Okay, Yom Kippur is the Yom Adin. We're Oymei Lefnei Hashem. And we're looking for a Zuchus. A Zuchus. It's a very interesting idea. It really, for me, changes the whole dynamics of what Kaparis is. Kaparis is to recall the moment of the Ayil. This is Hashem. We would go al kiddush Hashem. We would go for you, but that's not what you want. That's not what you want. And the Mela, let's reenact what you Hashem want. You don't want us to die. You don't want. We are delicately reminding Hashem, don't forget, you said it. These are your words. Your words are, Al tishlach yodcha el hanar, with a nar. Every single person is the nar. And this day, Yom Kippur, we're on the altar. And we're going to go. That's the Satan would have no other way. And we should all go. That's what he wants. Hashem, remember, you said, it was you who dispatched the Malach, who said, Al tishlach yodcha el hanar. And memela, vayaleu le'oila, tachas binoy. Ze tachas ze. When you take the chicken, or you take the money, or you take whatever you take, ze tachas ze. It's a polite reminder. The whole Seder. That's a different idea that I've never come across. It explains a lot of things. And explains why you say Zeh Tach HaZeh. If you do say Zeh Tach HaZeh, some Siddurim have it, some do not have it. Okay, another thing that is, this is totally new to me, very, very fascinating, is what exactly these words mean. Zeh Chalif, Zeh Tumurasi, Zeh three words. Zeh Chalifasi, Zetumurasi, Zekaparasi. What is the difference between the word Chalipin, Chalifasi, and Tumurasi? Now I forgot which one is which. I'm gonna have to turn too many pages to go and find the exact word. But one of the words means Mitoiv Lora, and one means Meira Litoiv. Tumurataka means
negative.
We're going to take something that is good, and we're going to exchange it with something that is bad. Chalifin means we take something that is bad and exchange it. Lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir oisoy toiv bira oira b'toiv. So the Mefarshim, they explain that we go backwards. Okay, one more time. Lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir oisoy toiv bira. The word toiv bira goes back on lo yomir oisoy. Tumura means to take something that is good and exchange it for something that is bad. Chalipin, ze chalipos, lo yachalifenu is meira litoiv. So now, what does it mean then? Let's make believe you're taking a chicken And you're saying, Ze Chalifasi. What does that mean exactly? You're saying about yourself, I am Toiv. Just take it literally before we say the correct shot. Ze Chalifasi, I am Toiv. And this chicken is Ra. So Hashem, take what's Ra instead of what's good. Does that make any sense? Doesn't really make sense. Exactly, it doesn't make sense. So what does it mean then? So let me read to you what it really means. Let me read to you, give me 1 second to find the page, because I'm not going to say it correctly unless I read word for word what it says here. I underlined it. Okay, let's... okay, one moment. Okay, here it is. Good. We're getting close over. Here it is. Okay, so let me explain. This is a very interesting idea. I never thought about this. What do these words mean? Ze chalifasi, ze tumurasi. Mahu hahevdil shebein chalipa litumura. The answer is achil of hu meira, all the way around. Meira litoiv. V'atumura hi mitoiv lera. Make up your mind. What are you trying to do? You can't use both words at the same time when you do kaparas. So he explains. Yesh. So here's his explanation. I'll read you the words. His umatzinu v'achiluf ha'adam ha'choite. Here's the bottom line. Ha'adam ha'choite garua menachai. You know what the truth is? We are worse than the bird. We're worse. The bird is much better than us. The bird did nothing wrong. The bird doesn't know from anything. What does the bird know from? Bird has no bechira. You feed the bird, he eats, he flies, he does whatever he does. We know from better. Hashem gave us the Torah, he gave us mitzvahs, and we have made a decision to neglect the Torah. We are the Ra. We are the Ra. We are the Ra. And the bird is the toif. So we say, Ribbono shel Olam, I read the words, Ha'adam ha'choite gorua min ha'chai. Then the living creature. The living creature can either be a bird, can be the lav dafli, you need a chicken. Some people, there's a whole shot that used to use animals. That's pretty scary because that sounds like a carbon, whatever it is. Min ha'chai. Lefichach, ha'tarnagol ha'zehu chalifasoi. Hashem, take the bird instead of us. Don't settle for poor quality.
What does pshat mean? Zeha tarnego yelech lemisa ebe ani ekones lechayim. What does that mean?
Hashem wants to take a neshama. The Satan, how does this work? I don't have any idea how these things work. But the Satan wants to bring Hashem a neshama. So we say to the Satan, we say to Hashem, Hashem, you want a neshama? Take the bird. The bird's much better. It's pure. There's a living force in that bird. There's a living force. Did that living koyach, it's a chai. It's a living creature. Hashem gave that creature a life. Did that creature do anything wrong? No. It's a tzaddik. We're not tzaddikim. We do averos. So ze chalifasi. I am Ra. The bird is toiv. That's a pasuk. Lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir oisoi toiv bira oira b'toiv. The way he understands this is the chalifa is ra b'toiv. The second part of the pasuk. Hashem, we are ra. We did averos. The chai is toiv. So you want a neshama? Take the chai. Ze chalifasi. Further. And then, uchesheshav. Then you have to add a whole commentary in between this statement. But after we pass through Yom Kippur, we pledge to you, Hashem, that when we go through Yom Kippur, we will do teshuvah. And when we do teshuvah, we will be tzaddikim. And then the bird, relative to us, will be ra. Ein edoymeh. A human being who has bechira, has nisyonos, and is oimed in those nisyonos, and if he does an avera, he does teshuva, that's in a whole different stratosphere than just than the bird. וכששוב אל השם בשובו שלמה, אז הוא מעולה מן החי. Then the person is much better than the bird, and then v'hatarnagol hu timurosai. Then in hindsight, it will be that the tarnagol was our timura. This is gvaldika stuff. Saying this all these years, I have no clue what he's saying over here.
Why isn't the tarnagol slaughtered afterwards?
That's part of the process. That's what the kaparis is all about. You give Hashem a neshama. Spooky stuff, like a korban. Hashem, the Satan, is present. The Satan is making trouble. The Satan is making demands that the neshama should return. So you say to the Satan, you want a neshama? Take the bird. Take the bird. The bird's better than me.
But he doesn't opt to do that.
We do it. What do you mean he doesn't opt?
He kill the bird?
Of course we kill the bird. You shecht it. The bird is supposed to be saying, you see, you don't see what goes on behind the scenes. No, he's saying good because you don't see what goes on behind the scenes.
They don't do it. They don't.
You're saying right. You're saying there's a lot of scandals that are going on. Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is today that we're not really equipped. Today it's really impossible. I mean, not impossible, but it's very unlikely that kaparos with a bird is being done kehalacha. That's why it's much better if your person has a custom to do with the bird. It's much better to have it done right away today. Today, go to Bar Park all over the place. There are chickens in the streets, because if you do it during the week now, there's more of a chance that the bird will be slaughtered kehalacha, and will be a bedika done properly, and it will be salted, and it will be given. You can eat it yourself.
You can eat yourself.
I don't have to give it to tzedakah, but they do. They'll give it to tzedakah. They will package it, and they will. You have to really. There are many different types of organizations or individuals that make a parnasa out of this. Okay, this is their parnasa. Good for them. What's so terrible? They make a parnasa from doing this. And there are many, many, many different, I don't know what you want to say, people, individuals, groups of people, organizations that do this. They bring in birds, and they charge money, and you do kaparis. They take the bird, and they properly, with a sheichet, a real sheichet, and a real baidek, they do a real kosher shechita, a real bedika. They salt it, and they distribute it to aniyim who need it and eat it. And it's done the proper way. If you're going to go 5 minutes before Yom Kippur on the avenue, and you're going to do kaparis, there's not a chance in the world that bird's going to have a kosher shechita. So what are you doing it? You do it anyway. It's a token fulfillment of kaparis. Zeh tacha zeh, so it doesn't get shechita. Whatever. Many will say, if you're not doing it the right way, so use money. Do use money, use kesef. The sugya of kaparis is literally infinite. Okay, this is an infinite sugya. We're not here to, I'm just talking about, I just want to focus on this beautiful translation of the words, which I never dawned upon. The word, there are two words for exchange in the Torah. Lo yachalifenu, velo yamir oisoi. Toiv bira, oi rabbi toiv. How does the word chalifa and tamura apply to kaparis? Because the nusach is ze chalifasi and ze tamurasi. What in the world are you saying when you say those words? When you do kaparis? So here is a very beautiful translation. I'm sure there are many perushim as to the depth of what these words mean. But he explains over here that before, what you're saying is before we do teshuva, when we are filled with chait, then this bird or any living creature that you're using as your subject for kaparis is toiv. It did not do any averos. It has no bechira. We have free will. We have chosen to do an avera. We are the ra, we are the bad, and the living creature, the bird, is the good. So Hashem, you want a neshama? Zeh chalifasi. This is, take this instead. Take the bird. The bird is toiv. I am ra. But after I do teshuvah, tomorrow I go to shul and I daven and I do teshuvah, may ahava, then all of my sins are forgiven. And then here I am, a baal bechira who doesn't have averos. Then the result will be tomorrow, it will be that this will be a temura. I'm going to be the toiv, and the bird is ra. Ein edoyme, a human being, a bardas, a baal bechira, who chooses to do what is good relative to a bird that has no bechira. Then it will be mahapech to be a temura. It's almost like a bakasha. Right now, Ibn Shloilam is Zech Alifasi. But Hashem, have faith in me. Hashem, you can be mispalel. Ribbono Shalom, have faith in me. Have faith in me. I'm going to do teshuva. I pledge. I'm going to do teshuva. And in Mela, you'll see that in hindsight, this is not going to be a chalifa. This will be a temura. I'm the toiv relative to the bird. I find this very, very appealing, this parish. I don't think anybody necessarily agrees. All right. Let's move on. There's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. Now, this is a very interesting chakira in the Acharon. This is a lomdash chakira.
The word chalifa is called Ra, and Tamura is Ra and Tov.
Correct, yes. Correct, exactly.
You yourself said Tamura is Beitov, Ra, Ra, and Tov.
Tamura is when you exchange. No, so that's exactly what we're trying to explain what the words mean. When you start off, this is not a carbon. It's just an expression. It's a tefillah. Ze chalifasi, ze temurasi. Right now, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm full of averos. And therefore, right now, I am the Ra, and this bird is toiv.
Because I heard that you're repeating the same thing over again. But where do you see that?
The pasuk in Parshas Bichukosai says Lo yachalifenu velo yomir oisoi toiv bira oira bitoiv.
The second one goes on the second
and the second goes back on the first. That's how the Rishonim learned on the pasuk. You're looking in Rashi on the pasuk over there. Lo yachalifenu velo yomir oisoi. Toiv bira goes back on Yomir, and Rabbi Toiv goes on Lo Yachalifenu. And the Bukhukhoisai. That pasuk has both of them, both Yachalifenu and Yomir, and has Toiv bira and Rabbi Toiv. And then the order, which one goes to which?
Both of them is both ways.
No, so that's what you're saying. They don't. One goes on one, goes on the other. Okay, I'll finish up. There's a mitzvah to eat. This is massive hakir in the Acharonim. This is a lot of big sugya. There's no question. It says, how do you know there's a mitzvah? Many hold that it's a mitzvah de'oraisa. Ad kedei kach, that some even challenge, why don't we make a special brocha on eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim? Just like on Pesach, you make a special brocha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'mitzvanu al achilas matzah. According to many Rishonim, it's a mitzvah de'oraisa to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, because it says in the pasuk, bateshi. It says in the pasuk on the ninth day, ach, what does the pasuk say? Yes, what does the pasuk say? Ach, bayom. No, it says bayom Kippurim. On Yom Kippurim, it says that on the ninth day, boerev, you shall
elisa.
Besisha lachodesh boerev. Why is the Torah confusing us? Is it say that on the tenth, betisha lachodesh, not during the day, boerev? In the evening, the inisim es nafshay seichem. So the Gemara learns the fact that it says on the ninth in the evening, it sounds confusing because it's coming to teach you kol ha'oichel batishii, anyone who eats on the ninth day in preparation for the fast on the asiri ki'ilu, it's as if he fasted 2 days in a row. Some learn that this is a mitzvah de'oraisa to eat on day 9, Erev Yom Kippur. It is the only day of the year when there is no, you're not allowed to fast. Fasting is osur. Even at Tainus Chaloim, you have to eat the mitzvah. Some say mitzvah de'oraisa. And then the question is, if it's a mitzvah de'oraisa, why don't we then make a bracha? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah se'vitzvanu al ho'achila. Just like you make a bracha and eat matzah, alachilas matzah. Okay, that's a separate topic. Of course, halacha lemaisa, we don't do so. But there's a mitzvah to eat. There's a mitzvah to eat, and here comes the chizun. Memele, once the mitzvah to eat, is a very important to bench the most important birchas hamazon of the year is the birchas hamazon, because if there's a mitzvah to eat, then there's a mitzvah to bench. V'yachalta v'savata uveirachta es Hashem Elokecha. If the Torah is telling you to eat, it's like a chain law. The Torah, the mitzvah, everyone agrees, the mitzvah deraisa to bench. V'yachalta v'savata uveirachta Hashem Elokecha. And now you have a unique knockout punch. There's a mitzvah to eat. A mitzvah to eat. To eat. And then once you eat, there's a mitzvah to bench. Imam, she sandwich the achila, the brachos. The eating is only a hechetimsa for a person to be given the ability to bench, to make a bracha. And the bracha, now this really is more of a word for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, why do you eat in Rosh Hashanah? Someone asks the question, why do you eat in Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Really, you should fast. And in fact, many places can say, you know, you're allowed to fast. If a person wants to fast on Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot of support behind that. We don't do it, but people are very lenient. They're very lenient. Some people, they daven past Chatzos. Me'ikar HaDin, many places will tell you, you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So why then do we eat? Siyamadin. You know what the answer is? You're not eating because you want to eat. You're eating as an excuse to recite Birchas Hamazon. The bracha Birchas Hamazon, the first bracha, is the perfect, perfect bracha. You cannot have a more perfect bracha to recite on the Yom HaDin. Hazon es ha'olam kuloi bituvo. Bechein uvechesed uverachamim. Who knows and lechem lechol basar ki li oilam chasto. Rosh Hashanah is the day Hashem gave life. And life needs to be sustained. Ki loy al halechem levado yichyeh adam. But it's a good first step. It's not lechem. Eating is a hechatimsa to say the bracha. Hashem, we need to live. It's a bakasha for chayim. It's an eloquent request for life. Because if you don't have bread, im ein kemach, ein Torah. If there's no bread, Hashem es zon es ha'olam kuloi bituvo. All of the Sifrei Musar, or the Sifrei Halacha, they all say, it's a very big nisayon. You're guaranteed to be running late Erev Yom Kippur. Never saw a person walk in Erev Yom Kippur on time. Never. No one ever comes on time to Kol Nidre. I mean, they come for Tefillah Zakah. You have these big dreams. I'm going to come early, get ready, warm up. I'm going to say the whole Siddur, the whole Tefillah Zakah, the Oisyos Kitanois, and the Oisyos Gedolois, and all these things. You know what it means. I don't know what it means. Right? You're going to work. Really? You go see what goes on in Shul. Okay, what really goes on? The Satan, I'm telling you, he is working overtime. He has a whole team. It's like they call in FEMA. They call in Category 5 storm. They rally all the resources of Shemayim to make sure that no one comes on time.
Try it one time.
What?
Try it one time. You'll see that people are...
A what?
Try it one time. Show up on time. You'll see that people show up.
Come on. Okay. I take it back. I'm just trying to be a little dramatic over here. The Melo, what is the collateral damage? The Satan is so smart. Like this guy, the Satan guy, he's just genius. What is the collateral damage of Erev Yom Kippur for most people? Birchas Hamazon. Birchas Hamazon. Don't let him get you this year. Birchas Hamazon is the only bracha that's deraisa. It is the bracha that defines life. What are you doing on Yom Kippur? He's asking for life. He's asking mamash, everything that you can possibly want in this world is in the Birchas Hamazon. And the Harachamans, unbelievable what it says, the Harachamans, and the Satan, he knows how to get you. You're under the most pressure the whole year. A Birchas Hamazon, Erev Yom Kippur. He knows how to do it. and don't let him get you. The Birchas HaMazon has to be said properly. Okay, we're out of time. Birchas HaBonim. There's a very beautiful minig in Klal Yisrael to bless your children. Erev Yom Kippur. Birchas HaBonim. There's a beautiful nusach in the Chai Odom. I don't know if you have the Chai Odom's nusach, what to say to your children every Yom Kippurim. And the Iker Birchas HaBonim is not Friday night. That was stolen. What goes on Friday night, the Birchas HaBonim Friday night, was stolen from Erev Yom Kippur. The Shabbat Shabbosayin. The original makar of Birchas HaBonim, Erev Yom Kippur. And as an extension, we do it every Friday night. So certainly it should be done with Hidur and Yoifi. There's a many people don't know this minug. You're not supposed to eat basar for the Sudas Mafsekes. Okay, you're not, animals represent din. The people don't know this. One of the most important halacha is if you happen to be eating by a Suda and the person doesn't know the halacha and they serve basar, make sure you don't say anything. That's the most important halacha for Yom Kippur. If you go to a Sudas Mafsekes and the host, they prepared beautiful food. They prepared duck. No, duck is bird. That's not a bird. They prepared veal. And they prepare meat. And they put out... veal is meat. Veal is basar. Veal is basar. Okay, veal, meat. They put out turkey. Whatever they put out, you're not supposed to do that on Erev Yom Kippur. The Suda, this is an ancient minhag in Klal Yisrael, no basar. But
why
it's a.
No Suda Seder.
What?
Like Seder too.
Like
roasted
by the Seder.
Sleet, right. But here, Sleet is a little. Right. But don't, and if they put out basar, quiet.
Why?
Quiet. Eat it. Quiet. It's Kabbalah in Yonim. Basar is din. It represents din, shchita, azoy. I don't know. I don't know all these Kabbalistic things. It's a minhag, it's cited in all of the svarim. But people don't know this, especially the Noshim. They don't know this. And they serve basar. So don't worry. The world will still spin. Okay, Rabbi, so have a wonderful day. Yerushem. Continue on Monday. Now,